Welcome to the weekly mini Parsha share that we're doing through the summer to share some brief ideas on the Parsha. This Parsha is Parsha Vayeshev. Of course, Parsha Vayeshev is very famous for the story of Yosef, the Mechiras Yosef, the selling of Yosef through his brothers, and the whole evolution of events that led ultimately to the Jewish people coming down to Mitzrayim and to the Golus Mitzrayim. So I want to just share with you two ideas. The one is about a Rashi. The very beginning of the Parsha. The Parsha tells us that Yosef was shepherding his father's sheep. He was 17 years old. He was helping his brother, so to speak. And Vayove Yosef, and Yosef brought as dibosom ro, evil speech, slander essentially, about his brothers, El Avim, to his father. Rashi says, what does that mean? The slander, the negative speech about his brothers referred particularly to the B'nai Leah, to the sons of Leah. That's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. And he told his father the following. He said three things. That he told him that his brothers are eating Aver min Hachai. They're eating meat of a live animal, which is a prohibition not only for Jews. It's a prohibition even for non-Jews. One of the seven Noahide laws. He said also, "Umazalzlim ibnei hashvachis, likroisim avadim." They are despising, they're disrespecting the other brothers who were the sons of the maidservants, Bila and Zilpa, by calling them slaves. And the third is v'chashudim al ha'arayos, that they are suspected of inappropriate immorality, inappropriate behavior. Certain sort of promiscuity, etc., etc. That's what the Rashi says, and of course, Rashi goes on to say that this was inappropriate of Yosef because he later on sort of got punished in three different ways, which represented these three different slanders about Avram and Achai, about the live meat of an animal. He got punished that they shechted a goat to put his shirt in the blood to show his father that he had died. The fact that he called him, said they were calling the brothers Avodim, which wasn't completely true. Then he got sold as a slave, as an Eved himself. And also the fact that he suspected them of inappropriate behavior, he got challenged by the wife of Potiphar, who tried to seduce him when he came down to Mitzrayim. Now the Mefarshim all battle with this. The Mefarshim really talk about it. How could it be? Could Yosef really? I mean, Yosef was such a tzaddik. Could he have really told his father such terrible things when it was so far from the brothers? The brothers were tzaddikim. They wouldn't have done such terrible averus, etc. So the Sifse Chachamim and the Gur Aryeh and the Mizrahi all talk about it. I want to share with you one idea. Basically, it all boils down to this. What he saw, first of all, the reason he told his father was because he felt that his father should know, that he can reprimand them and bring them back to the true path of Torah. But what boils down to is that he saw three things. He saw them doing things which led to suspicion, but he misinterpreted what he saw. And it looked like certain inappropriate behavior, but actually it wasn't. The Sif Sachamim, for example, goes through and he says the following. This idea of Avram and Achai. What does it mean, Avram and Achai? That they ate meat of a live animal. So he explains, and I think the Gerari, the Mizrahi explain also a similar thing, that he saw them eating meat from a behemoth, from an animal that was shechted, because they shechted their meat, they kept the Torah, we know, even before it was given. But when you shecht an animal for a short amount of time, it's still, there's still life in it. It's still like sort of splatters, like it sort of goes, jumps up and down the nervous system. And it looks like it's still alive, and therefore they took meat from that animal. It's supposed to be good meat. The Gemara says they took meat right off, fresh off the shechted animal, and ate that meat. Which really it wasn't that true, because the Gemara says that actually if you shecht an animal, a shechita kasher, a proper shechita, and it's a kosher shechita, and the animal is still moving, but both veins, both the food pipe and the windpipe, it's already was shechted, and it's now considered dead. It's now considered a shechted behemoth. To take meat off that animal while it's still moving is actually mutter, is actually permissible, because it's not considered a live animal. And so on the other things also. I want to just share with you one of the Mefarshim explained. This actually goes a little bit deeper. goes to a fundamental machlokes, fundamental dispute between the brothers and Yosef, a mohalachic dispute. Just as a very, very interesting thing, this that the Gemara says that if you shecht an animal and while it's still moving, even though after it was shechted, you can eat the meat, it's not considered eiver min hachai, is actually only for a Jewish person. Because for a Jewish person, once your meat has been shechted, it is completely permissible. But for a non-Jew, who doesn't have the laws of shechita, doesn't have the laws of shechting, therefore the definition of a dead animal for a non-Jew is that it's completely dead, that it's not moving at all. And therefore for a non-Jew, if it was, a behemoth was shechted, and even though it wasn't, it's still moving, if it's still moving, it's still considered alive, and therefore they are not permitted to take their meat off the animal, it's still considered one of the Noahide laws, one of the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So what was going on here? We know there's a fundamental argument, a discussion about that the Yidden, after Avraham Avinu, did the Jews, even those Jews that kept the Torah, even though it wasn't given, but did they have a halachic status of Jewish or not Jewish? There's a famous thing, there's a good reason, there's a good bulk of opinions that hold that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov and the Shvatim and all the Jewish people that went down to Mitzrayim that actually did not have the status, the halachic status of being Jewish, even though they might have kept the mitzvahs, and even though they might have all done all that, but nevertheless, actually the status was a non-Jew. They were descendants of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the first Jew in the sense that he believed in Hashem, that he had a Jewish soul, but halachically they did not have the status of being Jewish until the giving of the Torah. Yosef was of the opinion that they did not have the status of being Jewish. Therefore, he believed what he saw was correct. He saw them eating meat while the animal was still moving, and it was actually Eiver min hachai. It was actually meat of a live animal because this animal was still moving. They believed, however, the brothers believed that they actually were Jewish. They believed that because they had accepted upon themselves to keep the mitzvahs, or they were sons of descendants of Avraham Avinu and so on, they actually were considered Jewish, and therefore because they were considered Jewish, shechita would mean something to them, and therefore, halachically speaking, and therefore once they shechted the animal, the meat was indeed mutter. Just an interesting twist on how this all went, and how maybe, obviously the important lesson to this is that before we pass judgment on other people, because Yosef, this was considered one of the things, Yosef was sort of a failing of Yosef, before we, even though he was considered such a tzaddik, and he meant well, and it was coming from a good place, but nevertheless, obviously, even if that's true, we also have to be very careful when we see something, how it's interpreted, and what we're actually seeing, and always consider another side, another perspective. That's one idea. Second idea is, later on, when Yosef comes, and they want to throw him into the pit, and so on, and they want to sell him, and kill him, and so on, They threw him into a pit. The Gemara, the Pasuk says, "V'haboy reik." The pit was empty. Ein boy mayim. There was no water. So Rashi brings the famous idea that it's a strange expression. The Gemara talks about in Gemara Shabbos as well. That it says, "V'haboy reik ein mayim." If the pit was empty, there was no water. Well, we know that obviously, if the pit's empty, then there's no water. So what does it mean? So, famous thing Rashi brings, that mayim einboy means there was no water. When we say it was empty, which means it was empty from water, but nechashim ve'akrabim yeshboy, that there were snakes and scorpions. And this is something I think Gemara says, in other words, just to show us how dangerous it was that he was thrown there, right? So Rashi, that's the lashon of Rashi. Mayim einboy, there's no water, but nechashim akrabim yeshboy. Of course, the famous idea behind this is a lesson, that sometimes a lesson for our own brain, a lesson for our own Yiddishkeit. We are like a pit, and the pit always has to be full of something. There's nothing neutral. If our mind empties out, and we're not thinking Torah, we're not thinking things of Kedusha, automatically the mind, the brain, gets filled with negativity. It gets filled, it leaves a vacuum, and that vacuum attracts negativity, and therefore nechashim ve'akrabim yeshboy, there are snakes and there are scorpions. That's the famous ideal of Mefarshim talk about it. This also is linked with a word of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov says in the Shema, in the second paragraph of Shema, where the Torah warns us against serving of a desert, it says, be careful that your heart might stray. V'sartem, you will turn, v'avadetem elokim acherim, and you will serve foreign gods, said the Baal Shem Tov. The simple pshat is, v'sartem v'avadetem, that you turned towards avodah zarah. Says the Baal Shem Tov that Masarta means if you turn away from Torah, you haven't done anything, it is inevitable that you will end up doing something wrong and you will serve Avodah Zarah. You will end up serving Avodah Zarah. So same idea. If the pit is empty, then obviously it'll be snakes and scorpions, it'll be Nechashim Vakrabim. Now just to point out a very interesting thing, that this expression is in Gemara Shabbos. In Gemara Shabbos, it comes from the Gemara that says, Daf Chof Beis, Dorash Rav Nachman Bar Minyumi, Mishmeid Rav Tanchum. Rav Nosson Bar Namyumi said this in the name of Rav Tanchum. If you look there in the Gemara, because it's around this time of the year, there's two things that are said by the same author. One is this idea that if the pit is empty, the water will be of water. There'll be snakes. There's still snakes and scorpions. And the other one is about the Hanukkah candles. That if you put the Hanukkah candles too high, that you can't see them higher than 20 amos, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Now, on a simple level, the reason why those two ideas are in the Gemara Shabbos is because they're both by the same author. But there's a deeper idea. The whole idea of Hanukkah candles is the Hanukkah candles represent the emunah, the faith, the kedusha that you have to have. In the time of the Hellenist, the Yidden somewhat, their emunah, their ruchnis, their spirituality was damaged, and therefore they were able to be attacked spiritually, and therefore the Yevonim, the Greek Syrians, came and tried to destroy and dismantle the whole connection to Hashem, the whole Ashkofa, the whole perspective, the whole emunah, in order to make them more secular, more Hellenistic, and so on and so forth. So that's right next to it. The same author says this, that you have to always have the Hanukkah candles in sight. You have to be able to see the Hanukkah candles. You have to always be able to be conscious of your emunah, of your kedusha. Because if not, then we go to the next saying, Haboy Reik, the pit becomes empty, and then automatically, if we're not conscious of our kedusha, if we're not always thinking about our connection to Hashem, automatically we get filled in with Nechoshim Ve'akrabim. And that's the lesson of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is we light the Hanukkah candles in a way that we have to be able to see them. We have to be conscious of them. We have to be able to think about it and always be fully aware of our connection, our emunah to Hashem. Have a wonderful week and a wonderful Shabbos.